What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 31st, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast.
It's
Blessing,
me.
Eddie Oye Jr.
How's it going, Greg?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty relaxed this
It's
morning.
Very relaxed.
Yeah.
If you are an audio listener just on your tugboat going down there, chumming the waters, trying to catch some crabs, I understand, man. Nothing's different for you. But if you are one of the visual listeners over on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames and or RoosterTeeth.com.
Visual listeners.
I call everybody listeners. You might notice that, yeah, we're not at the desk today. We are at the fun set.
Oh, yeah.
The comfy set.
We're on a couch.
We're on a couch right now.
We got a
right
table
now.
In front of us. Well, I guess we had a table before.
Yeah, but now it's a coffee table.
Yeah, it's a different kind of table.
Do this kind of move
on
it. I didn't even put on the shirt and tie because it's such a laid-back stream today. Of course, you knew it. January was our fifth anniversary. We're back. We hired Blessing. We brought back PS I Love You. We have a bunch of stuff. We didn't fire Andy like I wanted to. But we did a stream 12 hours in the beginning for the Kinda Funny anniversary, and it was, of course, funding all of Kinda Funny Games 4.0, including PS I Love You, including Blessing, including the brand new studio we announced, 4,800 square feet, all these different things we're doing. It's a fundraiser, as you know. We filled in the thermometer on that day in the beginning of January. One of the things was another 12-hour stream. Today is the second 12-hour stream. So to drive it home again, remember, if you are listening to this in February, you can no longer help us in the same way. But if you're listening in the current time period, watching the stream right now, we are raising money throughout the month of January. Every dollar donated, every new pledge, every increased pledge will get your name written on the wall over on patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It'll get your name on the new studio wall. You'll get all sorts of cool bonuses. We just put up Gregway and Blessway.
Yeah.
You get those exclusive shows on Patreon. They're monthly, obviously. There's a whole bunch of perks you can go over and read. Kevin is slowly unwrapping a breakfast burrito, is it? Lucho's?
Yeah.
What'd you get in it, bacon or chorizo?
Chorizo, sour cream.
Oh yeah, that's a jam right there.
Can I give you a fun fact about Blessway?
Sure.
The episode we just put up.
Yeah.
First and last episode of Blessway.
I heard about this, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw someone immediately confused in the comments, and then like, I'm an idiot, I should have looked a little bit longer.
Yeah, no.
Because now you've already renamed it, right?
I renamed it, so that's the thing, right? Blessway is already up and done. It's over. Now it's Bless Up.
It's up and done. And
now
it's
Bless Up. Episode 1 is out next month.
Okay, wow, I'm excited about that. Is it going to be very different from Blessway?
We'll see.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll figure it out, you know. But enough about that. Today, let's talk about the fact that there's no new Switch coming in 2020. Then, there's a new Switch coming in 2020, and so much more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there, support us, get every show ad-free, get the shows with the exclusive post-shows like this one usually has, but won't today because there's a 12-hour stream. Get off my fucking back, you understand, right? Of course, you can just go there and toss us a few bucks if you think we're doing a good job. We love and appreciate you regardless. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames like so many of you are right now for this 12-hour stream. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, listening on podcast services, watching on roosterteeth.com, around... Well, that's a new computer. The Globe. I'm not going to do that. You know, old computer, who the fuck cared?
Exactly.
This new guy, he's doing pretty well. I'm not going to fuck with him.
Fair.
Housekeeping for you. As I mentioned, second 12-hour stream, you're in the middle of it. I also want to mention, yesterday we did We Have Cool Friends with Ray, a.k.a. twitch.tv/brownman. It's an excellent episode. If you remember yesterday, though, the internet was garbage here. There's like 4 different versions of it processing in YouTube. I don't understand what that means, but the podcast version is up, and eventually the YouTube video will be up. It'll probably go live sometime during this 12-hour stream or over the weekend. Please support that episode. That is when you send things out to die. We are not trying to send that out to die. Speaking of dying, Gregway, Josh McCuga, not dead. Josh McCuga, friend of the show, has a brand new show on a real TV station. The tweet reads like this. Here you go. Wednesday, March 11th at 10 p.m. Hashtag eating history. Only on at history. Thank you to everyone involved for all the support. Could not be here without you.
Did you watch the trailer for it?
No.
Oh my God.
When I was coming around the corner, I heard you guys say it was up.
Yeah.
And I had seen somebody, I think History Channel leaked its own announcement and ran an ad for it 2 days ago.
Oh.
And McCuga was freaking out yesterday when somebody tweeted him an image. So you can go to Josh McCuga's Twitter right now.
Yeah.
You can watch the video there, the promo for Eating History. It sounds really cool, right?
They're
just eating, like they're finding old food that never got open and eating it.
Exactly.
Which sounds horrible. And
like stuff that's like 50, 60 years old.
Exactly. I would say start saying goodbye to Josh McCuga. He will not be here forever. Botulism is very real. And I don't trust anything that History Channel's making them do. But again, bad opinions about bad boys. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by G.I. Joe, War on Cobra, and Robin Hood, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time. Whoa! No, your mic goes up. Whoa! Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
And worth pointing out, if you've never seen a Kind of Funny 12-hour stream, the nuts and the bolts, they're very loose. So you know, it's gonna be a laid back games day. They're gonna have some fun here. I'll tell you what, Bless. I didn't like my hair this morning, but I think I like it right now on camera.
Oh, really? You're seeing it? It's looking good.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. I don't like my hair from this angle. I feel like my hairline when the lights are shining directly on my head, you can kind of see the faults in my hairline more. But
the fault in your stars, right? It's
exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's how I constantly feel about my hair. I feel like my hair is constantly a mess and just the worst. And then
that's
I see
why
it
you
on
wear those
camera
hats all the time.
What?
That's why you wear those hats all the time.
Exactly.
Hey, we can make a pact right now. We can both go bald.
I mean, I would love to shave.
What do we need to hit on the thermometer today during the stream for you both to shave your head?
That is something that you'd have to run by Alyssa, because Alyssa doesn't like me with short hair. So
she can join in too. All of us go bald.
Exactly. Yeah. Number one on the Roper Report, no new Switch in 2020. This is Luke Plunkett over at Kotaku. Despite already announcing and releasing a new Switch model in 2019, rumors that Nintendo would release another variant of its latest console, a beefier, fancier Pro version, have refused to go away. So Nintendo has come out and just flat out said it. There are no new Switch models coming, at least in 2020. No doubt keen to have people buy their consoles now instead of holding out for some hypothetical point in the future, for some more hypothetical new model, a short statement tucked away on page 10 of Nintendo's latest fiscal report reads, quote, please note that we have no plans to launch a new Nintendo Switch model during 2020. Blessing.
Yes.
Do you buy it?
I 100% buy it.
Yeah.
Now, it's important to note that I believe they said the same thing last year. And they released the Nintendo Switch Lite. And so, you know, there is a precedent for them
lying
not necessarily
to your face.
Lying to your face.
Yeah.
But I think this kind of lines up with this year already being busy as it is, at least for console releases, right? Like, we're going to get the PS5, we're going to get the Xbox Series X, right? And Nintendo could release a Switch Pro. And I feel like, you know, that wouldn't totally tank the system. But at the same time, it's easier and cleaner, and you get the message out a little bit more, a little bit more isolated if you put it out, say, in 2021 as opposed to this fall.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's no rush, there's no hurry.
Evan M. writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, good morning, KFGD crew. Nintendo, as part of their financial meeting, stated they have no plans to release a new console version in 2020. This contradicts rumored reports, but I think the move to hold off on a new 2020 version makes a lot of sense. Nintendo marches to the beat of its own drum, but avoiding Sony and Xbox's console release makes logical sense to me. My question is, does a 2021 spring release window seem likely? The original Switch launched in the spring, and launching a few months after Sony/Xbox would give people's wallets time to breathe. Thanks, Evan M.
I would say spring and fall probably have an equal chance. Like, I think spring would make sense in the term, in the idea that, you know, spring is usually not too busy, right? The original Switch released in spring, and so that was obviously successful for them. I think the thing that might dictate when the theorized Switch Pro or whatever it's called might release is when Zelda 2 is ready, or not Zelda 2, but Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah,
I think they would want that game to release alongside
Switch. Do you not think Breath of the Wild 2 is this week or this year?
This year, no.
No,
I don't think Breath of the Wild 2 is this year. I think I could see it being spring. I could see it being fall next year, and I think there is precedent for both because the Switch Lite was fall.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I could see it. I could see it happening in spring, but I don't think it's guaranteed.
Here's what I'll tell you. First off, to your question, Evan M., I would say you wait till fall or summer, because I think spring is still too close to those consoles. And the big problem they're going to have is, and I don't, when I hear Switch Pro, and granted, everybody knows I'm a PlayStation console person, so the Xbox or Nintendo before this to me, I don't have a great, I had a Wii and I really enjoyed it. I had my DSs here and there. They can't call it the Switch Pro, right? It is not going to be that powerful.
It's going to be like
slightly better at best, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more like how the Nintendo 3DS, the jump
was
from
was
there
that the one or
to, well, no, it was the new, the was it XL or the new Nintendo 3DS?
The new Nintendo 3DS sounds right, when it had the nub or whatever.
Yeah. But XL also sounds right.
But XL was a thing at one point. And then there's the new 3DS
XL. Which one was the one that could play games better?
Like Konami.com/.
There was one of the 3DSs could play certain games better. I remember there were like certain games that ran horribly on the original 3DS, but I could see it being something like that. I don't think they would call it the new Switch because I think the new branding is done. I think the new branding was more of a Wii era thing, right?
Totally.
So like, I don't know what they would call it.
That's the problem though. Yeah. I feel like that's the idea is that.
I think Switch XL could be an idea.
Is it going to be bigger though? Is that where they're going to go with it?
If it is bigger, I don't think it's not going to be bigger. I can see it being, well, here's the question for you, right? What do you think a Switch Pro is, theorized?
Personally, I know I sound stupid and will be proven wrong because obviously things get updated. I don't know if they'll do a Switch Pro. Like, I just don't, it was in the question here, right? Of like, Nintendo marches to the beat of its own drum. And so, yeah, they put out the, like, we have people rolling in here, right? So hold on, let's go. The Kebab says the new 3DS had more power than a regular 3DS.
Okay.
Nintendo, here we go. Mizuki says the new Nintendo 3DS is the one that played more intensive games. Mm-hmm. XL just had the bigger screen.
Okay, that's what
so
I thought.
So I don't think the Switch has been out long enough, and I still think there's so much more success for the Switch ahead that you need to come out and say it's the new Switch. New Nintendo Switch, right? And so then you're pinned back in a corner of, I don't know if people, some people do, want a bigger Switch. Personally, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I think people are already covered with the Switch Lite for a different way, for the smaller version. So then you just get into this murky territory of like, they've already made the Switch more powerful, right? This was the big thing when the new model number of the Switch came out that had the better battery, right?
Yeah.
That was
like, but okay. That's not like more powerful though. It's just better battery and
sure,
like small features that.
But
you
But I still feel
notice.
Like you'd be Nintendo almost accomplishes the same thing by doing that, right? By winding down on production of their old models and putting out the new models, and that every model is the new model. If that makes sense, I don't.
Yeah.
It's just I think so. That's you know. Apples and oranges to the argument. Mm-hmm. I still think they're going to be pinned down by the fact that how do you market a new Nintendo Switch, a Switch Pro, in the wake of PlayStation 4 and Xbox? Because if the idea is, hey, we want to, you know, this has been a success outside of just gamers, right? This is a mass market success. Mm-hmm. How do you communicate that message to people communicate that message to the parents who have bought a Nintendo Switch and enjoy it but don't keep up with video games, but also not overextend the message to make it sound like this is the Switch 2.
Yeah, I feel like the Switch Lite was the thing that was for like, hey, this is for families and this is for people, like this is the thing that parents can get for their kids for this Christmas because they have multiple kids that want to buy that want to play the Switch, or like you're a parent that plays the Switch and want to get another Switch for your kid, but you don't want to buy one full price, right?
Sure.
Or you just want like a portable Switch for like multiple kids or whatever it may be, right? I feel like that's what the Switch Lite was. Whereas I think a possible Switch Pro or Switch XL or whatever it might be, like the enhanced version of a Switch is for the quote-unquote hardcore audience.
Yeah.
Right?
But here's where I want to stop you.
Yeah.
And have the continue. This is a great discussion, by the way. I really like you. I'm glad you're working.
Of course.
Of course.
You're welcome.
Do you think that a Switch Pro could be created by the Nintendo we know and have seen do everything they do and then be celebrated by the hardcore gamer? Like, I don't see Nintendo giving a shit in that regard to the hardcore gamer because I think Nintendo already has them. I have my Switch. I'm a hardcore gamer. I love the Switch, but it's like...
But you would buy another one. Well, I mean, maybe not you, but Tim Geddes would buy another one.
I'll tell you right now, number two on the Roper Report, we'll talk about the next Switch I'm buying. But, like, that's the thing is, like, yeah, a few people would... And I guess this could be very much when I was totally off base about the PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox Pro. Or no, Xbox X. Where I was just like... What's the purpose? Why is this a thing? Yada, yada, yada. And then when my PlayStation broke, that's what I bought. And I just encourage everybody to buy that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just don't know.
I mean, I
don't think it would be powerful enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be powerful enough or big enough or different enough that it would be like this, oh, my God, yes. It would be the, well, I'm going to buy it because I buy it.
I don't think they care too much about it being like an, oh, my gosh, like, this is a huge deal kind of thing. I think they would like another SKU out there, right? Something that's even incrementally better for people to buy, right? Because I feel like for Nintendo, the way they think about their handhelds, like, they don't mind having a bunch of different choices as far as, oh yeah, I can get this one that, you know, supports more 1080p games as opposed to, like, I feel like a lot of Switch games end up...
Yeah, they're like,
the screen,
Zelda
right?
is like 900p
or 900p,
something.
Yeah. Right? Like, I feel like small changes like that or small upgrades like that speak to enough people that it'd be worth Nintendo doing it. Like, the Nintendo, like, Nintendo did the new Nintendo 3DS. They did the XL. They did the 2DS. They did, like, the 2DS XL. Like,
which is great.
Is it great?
Yeah. Because it's like, it doesn't feel awkward to hold. It's like an actual, like,
it's no longer flip. The doorstop, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the like, one that's actually closed, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The clamshell.
Yeah. And so I feel like for them, the way they view their handhelds is more, and it's an interesting conversation because the Switch is a hybrid. And so you don't want to muddle the message way too much. But I feel like there's a nice in-between space of like not releasing a million SKUs of the Switch, but still releasing enough options out there to where you feel like there is a natural progression over the course of the generation before we get the Switch 2 or whatever actual next gen leap is. But that's why I feel like it's not happening this year for sure, is because of the Xbox One or Xbox Series X plus PS5, like that information can kind of get muddled there. But I feel like next year, even spring of next year, right? Like, I feel like you've gotten away from it enough to where you can announce a Switch. Like, if you name it Switch XL, I feel like you kind of get what it is if it's like a bigger screen. And then a couple years later,
that's where I think that's where it gets more interesting in this conversation, is that that's the redesign I think is super possible. In a Switch XL, it would be a more powerful Switch. It would be able to run 1080, whatever.
Yeah.
But it would be this idea that like people throw around the Pro and talk about the Pro as if that would be the major selling point of it. And I just don't see that being the case, where Nintendo's like, look at how powerful this is.
No, I don't think that at all.
If it's going to be, it's a bigger screen. It's like an iPad mini or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that, and they can run games at a better, it's running them closer to what it looks like on your TV. That I get. That I believe.
Yeah.
It's just this idea that I think, especially for people who didn't live through the Nintendo 3DS, the 3DS XL, the new 3DS, and all this stuff. Like, I feel like when they hear Pro, they are legitimately thinking they're going to be getting
PS4
this.
Pro kind
and of I thing. Think you need, to, yeah, exactly. You need to dial that back because Nintendo doesn't care about their games running or looking that way. And even if they did put it out and they were like, cool, it's the same form factor of a Switch, but it runs 1080 and can load faster and do this. My counter to that would be like, well, who's... Of the indies that are putting their games out on this, of the third-party stuff that's being put on, even exclusive stuff, who's going to take advantage of that? You're not going to get that, right? Like, Nintendo games look like Nintendo games.
And kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, right? Like, how many games took advantage of the new Nintendo 3DS? Because I want to say it was like two or three that took advantage of the power of the new Nintendo 3DS. But I feel like there's still...
I think there's still like enough like little improvements.
Yeah.
That was the nub, and like they added in things that were like... I remember doing a thing with like Destin Legarry at PAX after we played it.
Yeah,
and it was that thing of like, I'm not going to buy this, but it's cool. I understand why you'd want it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember like there being a lot of controversy about games not running as well on the OG 3DS because they ran well on the new Nintendo 3DS. And so like...
And I think there's just like enough of like little Switch improvements that you can do. Like, yeah, it's not going to be like, yeah, I agree with Greg, like where it's not going to be like this huge, like powerful push of like, look at how powerful this console is. But I think there still will be like little upgrades of like,
yeah,
hey, there's not like frame drops in Breath of the Wild or Link's Awakening, and like, oh, we can actually scale up to full 1080p or more than that.
Yeah, and
right?
that's my thing too. Is like, I don't think a Switch Pro is like dynamically more powerful by any means, but I think it is like, you know,
just little things,
like
that
the
it
little
improves,
things, right? Yeah. Like being able to do like 1080p or being able to actually run through the whatchamacallit, the Lost Forest in Breath of the Wild,
and then also
without all those frame drops.
Foodie and Fit says Bluetooth headphones would also be
those types of things.
What I want to call it here, Nanobiologist put up a Pocket Gamer article from basically the release date. This is Chris James, February 10th, 2015. Six 3DS games that take advantage of your new Nintendo 3DS's extra features, right? Mm-hmm. This Friday the 13th is far from unlucky for Nintendo fans. It's the day the new Nintendo 3DS and its XL variant arrives on UK and US shores. The ultimate version is one of the six handles today, blah, blah, blah. But then it goes through, right? So it was like, this is all the stuff in there that I think is, again, what we're talking about, more than just power, right? It was the new C-Stick, which was used by Majora's
Mask. That was the
nub,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Extra CPU and RAM, Xenoblade Chronicles. Extra shoulder buttons, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. Amiibo support for Smash Brothers. Improved 3D for Super Mario 3D Land. Faster download speeds. They cited Bravely Default as the one that would take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's like what we're talking about in a way that I just don't... We're out, regardless of what we say or do,
mm-hmm.
Because right now I'm about to say they're in a rock and a hard place with it. They are not. The Nintendo Switch is a runaway success. It continues to sell well. It's about to have a huge fucking day, at least, with Animal Crossing, let alone the year, I imagine, when they reveal what else is happening the rest of the year, then Nintendo's got more up their sleeve. I don't see them losing steam. No matter what, if you put out a Switch and it is more powerful, people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, I was sitting there being like, I don't know why you'd buy a PlayStation 4 Pro, a million people were out there on my Twitter feed buying it because I have a 4K TV. I do want this thing. I do want the games to look as best as they can. There are a lot of Tims out there.
Yeah, right.
And so for the Switch, there'd be a lot of Tims as well.
And like, I'd be surprised if they put out a Switch Pro that had 4K support on TV. But I mean, that could be an option. I feel like that'd be outside of Nintendo's wheelhouse. But like, when I think of, you know, things that Nintendo would do in order to make a Switch, quote unquote, Switch Pro viable, or like an upgraded version of Switch viable, right? Like, I think of the more creative things, right? Like Barrett mentioned Bluetooth, but also like, what if you did support for different types of like creative Joy-Cons that you could only use on the new Switch? That is like, here are Joy-Cons that look like a GameCube controller that you attach on, right? Which that's something that I think people theorized at the beginning of the Switch lifecycle, that maybe they could use that as a selling point of the new Switch. I don't know, but like ideas like that that are more creative in a sense than purely technological in the ways that we think for a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X. You know, I think Nintendo is weird enough and they march enough to the beat of their own drum, like we're saying here, that I could see them going a more creative route in terms of justifying a new Switch model.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. Not this year, apparently, according to Nintendo. Some of your wrongs here. Ignacio Rojas points out, the new Switch model doesn't have a better battery. It has a more efficient chipset that improved the battery consumption. Thank you. Ignacio Rojas again, there was no 2DS XL. There was a new 2DS XL.
Are you?
Fuck you, Nintendo! Boo! John Bob Stab. Minecraft was 3DS only.
New 3DS only.
I left out the only important word in that sentence. Ignacio says only the new models of the 3DS family could run SNES Virtual Console stuff. And then Anakin JMT says there were 22 games according to the NeoGAF thread that were new 3DS exclusive.
Exclusive?
Yeah.
Wow, that's way more than I thought.
Yeah, right. So yeah, Nintendo. Always gonna be Nintendo about it.
Yeah.
Next. This is the one, obviously, that I'm sure most of you know about. It swept the world and Twitter by storm yesterday. Number two on the Roper Report. The Animal Crossing Switch is gorgeous. Barrett, go ahead and throw it up there. Good Lord. This is the tweet that accompanied this if you're an audio listener. Hashtag Nintendo Switch System, inspired by hashtag Animal Crossing New Horizons, is on the way with unique Joy-Con controllers, a custom design in the back, and a special Nintendo Switch dock. It's the perfect way to start your island life. Available March 13th. For $300. That's 1 week before Animal Crossing. It does not come with Animal Crossing. It just is themed after Animal Crossing. This thing, blessing. Good Lord.
Yeah, looks pretty cool.
You gonna buy it?
No. I'm not huge into Animal Crossing.
Only me and Joey in this office care about Animal Crossing, and I ain't mad. I ain't mad about it, because that means I only have to fight her for this if Nintendo sends us one.
I want them to sell the Joy-Con colors.
Too bad, that's not gonna happen.
Well, eventually
they'll probably bundle them alone.
Because those colors are nice.
Yeah, I really like this light blue one.
Throwback up, just while we talk about it, this entire time, because this is just like, it not only is it beautiful, it's peaceful. You look at this and you feel the island time.
Yeah, I almost
feel Tom Nook there.
I almost tweeted out.
Breathing on your fucking neck to pay some bells.
I almost made a tweet, but I decided against it because this is a happy time for Nintendo fans. I almost made a tweet that was like, oh man, this new IKEA Switch looks awesome. I didn't want to annoy anybody.
Goddamn.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Really?
This is the first time for a Nintendo Switch where I'm like, fuck, I really want that one.
Just buy it.
Well, I guess actually, no. The second time after my original Switch was the Super Mario Odyssey bundle, which was perfect because I bought that for Jen so she could have her own, and then I just stole those Joy-Cons.
Yeah, those like dark red ones.
Yeah.
Fuck, they're so cool.
Beautiful red ones, right? Yeah. Just buy it. It's 300 bucks, though, you know what I mean?
That'd be true.
And then also, it saved me because I assume, and I haven't done any research on this, that this is the better chipset, right? So I'd actually get all that battery life out of it.
Oh, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
That's a very good point.
On Twitter, when I made a tweet about this, somebody did respond saying that the GameStop deal is back to trade in your Switch and get 250 credit.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know if that's true. That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because that's how much it was, right, when they were originally like traded in, get the new.
I'll do some research.
Thank you.
I'm on it.
But then even then, it's like, what do I do, right? I don't want to wait till the 13th to go in there and make that transaction, but I can't be without a Switch for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm really liking the Joy-Cons here, Greg. And here's the thing. I started getting that Joy-Con drift on the my left Joy-Con.
So that's pretty cool.
I'm in the market for
that. I also have the drift.
I just started getting it like last week. I noticed like Link was moving on his own a couple of times, so that was fun.
The thing for me is, now that you guys mention it, like I do have some reasons to get a new Switch between like the new models having the improved battery life or the improved chipset that lead to a better battery
life. I got a
little
scratch on my screen too.
Yeah, and the drift, you know, getting a new Switch, it's a good idea. The thing is, I feel like I'm not big enough of an Animal Crossing fan to actually get the Animal Crossing Switch. I feel like then I'm a poser.
Tommy Boy does say in the chat here, or not the chat, you're wrong, sorry, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Animal Crossing Joy-Cons are available separately in Japan.
So you
can hit up PlayAsia and import them that way. Or we could just go to Japan like we're talking about.
Yeah, we could do that Japan trip. Remember, also, which I feel like is already confirmed. Japan. We're doing that, right?
Because that's similar to the Mario ones. Like, you can only get the red ones imported from Japan, and Amazon does that for you, though.
I feel peaceful. Peace is radiating off of this image.
They know what they're doing, though. Like, they set this in front of, like, in a peaceful setting right here. Like,
here we go. Current trading offers from GameStop. Trading credit when you trade in your Switch or PS4 or Xbox One.
Dang. Wow.
Offer valid through February 9th. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. So you'll be like a month without a Switch.
Yeah, that's a long time.
But you have gens, though. They can just
You transfer over your profile and stuff
I looked into this. Isn't it a? It's not a bitch anymore to transfer and do anything.
It never was. I never understood the hubbub about it.
The problem is it doesn't auto upload stuff, right? That's the big deal. So you have to make sure you're doing it.
Yeah, you have to make sure like saves are protected and shit. Because like I had to send in my Switch when I had like one of the batteries that were expanding in my Switch, so I had to trade it in or send it back to Nintendo so they could fix it. So I transferred my profile to like a Switch at the IGN office, and I just played on that like for a week, and then it came back. Okay. It's fucking simple. So
I've not seen the thermometer for the 12-hour stream.
Yeah, I haven't. But I think Joey's in charge of it. And she's not here.
If the Japan trip isn't on there.
Oh wow!
The trip
remember to Cleveland is on. No wait, where are we going? Pittsburgh.
Oh.
The Pittsburgh trip is on there.
Bachelorette is going to Cleveland, Greg.
They haven't been talking about that long enough. Nanobiologist has a little workaround too for us. Greg, you can create an Amazon Japan account with your current Amazon account and buy them your Joy-Cons that way. I did that with the Disney Sumsum Switch, and it was only, when it was only available in Japan. No, crazy. Play Asia markups. There you go. But go back. Yeah, so here we're still looking at it. You got the pastels. Look at the detail there.
Yeah, that's really cool.
They knew what they were doing.
God, they know what they're doing.
Like, I want to live in whatever house this was shot in.
Yeah, no, totally right.
Because this place looks
it's
clean.
Nice wood. They're down at a beach, probably. Get some fresh oysters. Have to wear a hoodie, you know, when the sun goes down.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
About, right?
Yeah. Wearing a hoodie to sleep.
Oh, man.
Man.
Number three on the Roper Report, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order crushes some sales numbers. This is Matt Kim over at IGN. Respawn's Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is already a hit, but EA now says the single-player Star Wars adventure is on track to hit 10 million unit sales. During EA's Q3 2020 financial call with investors, EA revealed that sales of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order significantly beat our expectations. CFO Blake Jorgensen says that EA originally predicted Jedi Fallen Order to sell between 6 and 8 million units for the fiscal year, but Star Wars already hit the high end of that in the third quarter. EA now says it anticipates Jedi Fallen Order to sell around 10 million units in the fiscal year, a very strong result for a single-player action game, end quote. Not only is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order critically acclaimed and Kinda Funny's Game of the Year 2019. No big deal, huh? Go to hell,
Apex Legends.
Go to hell, Apex Legends. But according to EA, the game is selling well above expectations. According to the NPD Group, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order was December 2019's best-selling game and the sixth best-selling game of 2019 after only just 2 months.
Yeesh.
Well-deserved. Single-player games aren't dead.
How do you feel like, or where do you feel the relationship between EA and Star Wars is at now? Because me and Tim were having this conversation when there were the KOTOR rumors floating around.
Yeah, God, right? I hope those are true.
Do you feel like EA or Star Wars is going to renew with EA?
No, not a chance. Really? Here's what I think is going to happen, is that I think Star Wars and Disney are in such a different place now. where in terms of when they got that license and they signed with EA and they got going, right? Where you've seen, like, you know what, Drake went over to Disney, right, to actually work for games and stuff.
Not
like
the rapper.
No, John Drake. They're actually doing that. My prediction has been since everything went to shit, and I mean, like, that's what, after Battlefront 2 and the loot boxes and all that crap. Yeah. I was saying on Games Daily then that I think Disney wants out of this deal. And I think now, with this happening, it's too little too late, but in terms of the exclusivity, I think that they're gonna break up in terms of exclusivity, but I do not think it's going to be salt the earth, you never work with us again. I think it's going to be, cool, listen, this wasn't exactly what we wanted, but we got there in the end with a few things. Respawn, you continue to make Jedi games. You know, you keep making your Star Wars things. I'm sure whatever weird mobile thing EA's doing with them as well, I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the little stuff that's been going on. Battlefront, obviously, has gotten to a place that's really good. I would imagine if they want to investigate a Battlefront 3, they would have them do that. But I do think that when this deals up, and when is that again? Does everybody remember? Because we were talking about this when it all went bad with Battlefront. It was like, 3 years last year, I thought, or 2 years ago.
Battlefront 2?
When Battlefront 2 happened, I thought we had 5 or less on the clock still. Maybe that would have been year 6. So I think this might be year 7 of the 10-year exclusivity deal. And so we have either 2 or 3 more left.
I'm doing my research.
Battlefront 2 came out in 2017. Battlefront 1, I want to say, came out in like 2015?
There we go. The biologist says the deal will expire in 2023. Greg's right. Yeah. 3 years left.
Yeah, I remember them.
That's my right noise.
But we're going to get Battlefront 3 before 2023, right?
Ooh.
Like, we have to.
I mean, you say you have to, but then look at how much work they've put into Battlefront 2 and made a big deal about Celebration this year, right? Or last, or whatever, in the winter.
And they're still adding stuff. Like, they just announced, like, Scarif is coming to, like, a different mode or something. Like, they're just
They went through enough work there, and I'm not even using this, like, facetiously or in a underhanded way. They went through enough work with that game that IGN re-reviewed that game, which I think shows, like, that's an incredible amount of work poured back into that game. And so I wonder what that did, for a Battlefront 3.
Yeah.
You'd imagine that, by 2023, not only will there be another Battlefront from EA, that there'll be another, at least,
Jedi.
It'll definitely be announced, and they'll definitely be targeting to have it out by then. Will it be out by then? I don't know.
Yeah, because, 2023, that's 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you imagine next year, actually, no, when did Battlefield 5 come out?
Battlefield 5?
That was...
Battlefield V?
Because they're usually, like, on a rotation between Battlefront
2018, right?
And Battlefield.
2018 was Battlefield 5?
I'm looking it up. Battlefield 5 Greg was 2018.
Fucking nailed it. How about this, everybody?
My prediction is fall 2021, we get Battlefront 3. I feel like that sounds about right.
Okay.
Because they'll want one on the
But that would be the normal plan, right? Because that would have been if everything went right, and things did not go right with Battlefront 2.
Yeah, it's true.
Not to mention, how do you take your foot off the gas as... I'm on a ledge here. I don't know enough about Battlefront 2. Have they put everything you could possibly imagine in terms of Star Wars stuff into there? Like, are there more planets to go fucking fight droids on or whatever? I don't know.
I don't know, like, planets-wise, but, like, I see, like, fucking, like, character updates. I think they just added, like, the evil BB-8 to, like, as one of the heroes or some shit that you can play as.
There's a lot going on.
That game is fucking wild. But because, the other question I asked you of you, because of the... reception review-wise and with numbers and sales and stuff for Star Wars Jedi, do they change gears and maybe prioritize a follow-up to that as quickly as they can before they do another Battlefront, which already has, like, they have their core fan base, but they know trying to sell that name to a larger audience is going to be a hard sell because of the launch of Battlefront 2. You know,
I think Battlefront is still Battlefront, though. Like, I know Battlefront 2 definitely salted the earth in a lot of ways, but, you know, with them kind of coming back with it and, like, kind of fixing a lot of those issues. And if you come out with Battlefront 3 and have the marketing for it be that, like, hey, you know, we're not doing microtransactions in the same way anymore. Like, we've heard all the cries. You know, we're going to be super clear in terms of how we're going to monetize this game and make the progression super clear to our audience. You know, I feel like you can then sell that game in that way. The reason why I have that prediction is that it's going to come out is if you look at Battlefront, if you look at DICE's output, right? 2015, Battlefront 1. 2016, Battlefield 1.
That sounds right.
Battlefield 1 was World War 1, right? And then 2017, Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm. 2018 was Battlefield 5.
5.
From you're wrong before you even get there. Mm-hmm. No, don't worry about it.
Okay. And then 2019, we didn't get a dice game.
Yeah, they were. Somebody said, and I deleted it apparently because it wasn't really a you're wrong, was mm-hmm. that they've released a Battlefront or Battlefield once a year, every
yeah,
year.
Yeah, back and
with,
forth.
Except with the exception of last year.
This last year, we got Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which I assume is why we didn't get Battlefront 3. Mm-hmm. That plus the controversy, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, with the assumption that maybe development is kind of slowed on Battlefront 3 because of the controversy and because they've been putting so much post-launch support into Battlefront 2, that's why I'm thinking next year, next fall. So next fall, meaning fall 2021, we get Battlefront 3.
Okay.
Now here's where you get fucked.
Yeah.
You're wrong calling out the fact that Lord of Pwn says EA has said the next Battlefield game is planned for 2021. Nanobiologist puts in more information.
Then what's this fall?
EA reiterates its plan to release a new Battlefield game on next-gen consoles by March 31st, 2020. No, I'm sorry, by March 31st, 2022. The idea is that EA plans to skip the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X console launches in holiday 2020 and give DICE more time to develop their Frostbite engine for next-gen and wait until the player base and install base matures.
Interesting.
This also makes sense to a lot of EA's internal studios that use it.
And this is what I was going to say earlier.
Tweettown.com, who was where I get all my news.
It's also messy because Battlefront has always been timed with new big movie releases, right? Or no, actually that's...
That's right.
Is that right?
Battlefront 2 came out like a month before Last Jedi.
Yeah, and Battlefront 1 came out right before Episode 7, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Jedi Fallen Order was the one that was timed with this last movie.
Yeah.
And so with them not having...
really any big movies.
And yeah, a big movie, yeah, at least yeah. announced and on the docket, they wouldn't have anything to time a new Battlefront with, which is what throws a wrench in my whole thinking.
Now,
Kabobs here says there was no new Battlefront game last year because it was mostly focused on the Rise of Skywalker DLC and updates.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't release one in the same year as Jedi Fallen Order. Or the same fall as Jedi Fallen Order.
Probably. Yeah.
Follow me here, Bless. Instead of, you know, Battlefront next year, we know we're getting some sort of Battlefield 2021. Give me motherfucking Battlefield Bad Company 3. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's all he's saying, man.
That's all I'm saying, Bless. Give it to me.
Charles J. has a one here that says, worth noting, EA only has exclusive rights to the core title. Casual games on mobile isn't included. Wouldn't be surprised if a potential new contract would perhaps expand casual to digital-only titles. An interesting note. But yeah, I definitely think the main console, whatever you want to call it, exclusivity is going to die.
I can see it.
It's just like... You look around, I know I beat the drum for them all the time, probably too much, but you look at Marvel games, and it's like, damn, what a brilliant way to handle IP.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Disney looks at that, especially now that everybody's owned by Disney, and it's just like, that's a great way to do it, and how great would it be to see a small independent studio make something like The Mandalorian, right? Like, hey, take this one little piece of lore and tell an episodic tale or do a platformer or whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah. I think Tim mentioned, though, when we were having this conversation on an earlier episode, that, like, Star Wars is also no stranger to controversy, you know, in terms of their IP and in terms of how they've been received.
Yeah.
And so maybe the Battlefront 2 stuff, like, of course, a disaster isn't enough of a disaster for them to be, like, let's pull everything. Let's totally get out of here, especially since EA seems to be on the comeback with their Star Wars titles.
Yeah.
But I'm somewhere in the middle because, like, I could easily see them pulling the Star Wars license from EA and doing what you're saying is, like, hey, you guys get to keep Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and maybe a new Battlefront game, but we're going to start fishing these games out to other developers. I can see that. But at the same time, I wouldn't be too surprised if they just renewed it because it's the easy thing to do.
I just don't think that's what's happening over there anymore. I mean, I could easily be wrong, obviously, but I think that, like, you know, when all the Battlefront loot box shit was happening and it went so high up the chain at Disney that there was conversations about, like, the big wigs talking to each other and be like, what the fuck? Like, once that eye of Sauron's on you, I don't think that it's just going to be like, all right, rubber stamp it. Like, I think it's going to be, like, a more nuanced decision. And again, I think the fact that, I keep going back, that they hired Drake, right, that they're obviously making inroads into actually trying to handle their IP like Marvel handles their IP for games. I just don't think that's where they'd end up.
Yeah, I would love to see them fish out stuff.
Yeah, no, totally, right? Let Mike Biffle do something. You know what I mean? God knows he's got to do something. Sitting over there being British all the time.
Star Wars Hex.
There you go, exactly, right? Number 4 on the Roper Report. The Behemoth's next game is... Behemoth tweeted today, grab hold of something and don't get abducted. Game 5 is coming. We're excited to share our next game in development, Alien Hominid Invasion. This reinvention of Alien Hominid HD will feature new gameplay, progression, mechanics, and more. Stay tuned for more details at PAX East. If you are like me and remember the name Alien Hominid but never played anything about it, Wikipedia says, Alien Hominid is an independently developed run-and-gun video game developed by the Behemoth. The game was developed from a Flash game originally released on Newgrounds in August 2002.
That's awesome.
O3 Entertainment released the game for PS2 and GameCube in North America in 2004. It eventually came to Xbox, a whole bunch of stuff. Alien Hominid is a side-scrolling shooter in a similar vein to games like Metal Slug, where one hit instantly kills and has two-player simultaneous play. Players take over as the titular Hominid, who has to fend off waves of secret agents. His main arsenal is a blaster, while players can also melee close-up enemies and use a limited number of grenades. Advanced moves include rolling under shots, jumping on and biting off enemies' heads, temporarily scaring other enemies, and digging underground to drag new enemies down with them.
Did you ever play Alien Hominid?
No.
Me neither.
No. Yeah, no, that was what I was saying. It's like, it's definitely a name that I saw, and I'm like, I know I should know this, but I don't know this.
No, that's really, I like the story of them starting off from Newgrounds,
right?
You know, and then porting to PlayStation 2 and GameCube. I feel like in that era, that was not as heard of. Like, I feel like nowadays, right, like, indie development is kind of easier to transition from something like a Flash game. Like, was Super Meat Boy originally a Flash game, or did I make that up in my head? There's certain games, or maybe I'm thinking of N plus.
God of War.
God of War, yeah, was the one that was on Newgrounds.
No, I remember N plus sounds right. I remember that.
Well, it's confusing because Celeste was also like a weird.
Celeste was a console it was made for.
It wasn't necessarily
a Flash game, but it was like a.
Was it made for the Ouya?
Yeah.
No, but it was more so
like the
Ouya. You know how like the what's the cranking.
That fucking thing. I don't know. The Jared Petty Dream Machine.
Yeah, you know.
I walked by that thing at PAX. I was like, oh,
God. You know, it's like a cool like thing for developers to kind of make games for, like a weird indie kind of thing. Celeste was like a similar situation where it wasn't made for the crank boy, but it was made for a specific console that was made to emulate like early Atari stuff. Mm. But yeah, Meat Boy was a Flash game.
Yeah, right? Nanobiologist points out the original Meat Boy is an Adobe Flash game created by Ed, of course, and programmed by Jonathan. The game was developed over a 3-week period and released on Newgrounds on October 5th, 2008. Anakin gives us a little bit more. Meat Boy was a Flash game. Super Meat Boy was
the console. Okay.
Play Date is the gaming device you're talking about. That's from Lord of Foam.
Yeah, I call it the Crank Boy. Yeah,
that's a much better name.
I mean, is it though?
I mean, it's not. Playdate
really
is.
I hate it.
Crankboy sounds like something Nick would say.
Yes, okay, well, that's not. Yes, that's 100% something Nick would say. You are not wrong about that. Yeah, good for them. I know there's a lot of Behemoth fans. They were, you know. Behemoth was so hot for a while. When indie games first broke out and we were wrapping our heads around what a downloadable game was and stuff, and they had Castle Crashers. Holy shit. They were the shit.
Has that come to Switch yet?
I don't know. I feel maybe. It seems like it's come to everything.
It was announced for Switch, right?
I know. It was fucking hype as shit.
Yeah, because that was the big thing.
And then finally, number 5 on the Roper Report, there's a new Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer today. We will be doing a react to it live on the stream and then going up on all the normal podcasts. Services. Does that go up as a podcast? Yes?
Trailer. It's not a first impression, so trailer reacts are only YouTube.com. So that's kind of funny games.
And that's it. Blessing.
Yes.
Did we find out if Castle Crashers is out yet?
It is out.
It is.
Yes, September 17th.
You can get on Switch right there.
2019.
But that's an old game. If I wanted new games that were coming out today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today? There's a lot. Which makes me think I did something wrong. But no, I think I did it right. Hyper Dot, Xbox One, PC and Mac. Ash of God's Redemption, PS4. Willy Jetman, Astro Monkey's Revenge, PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Hypercharge Unboxed on Switch. Ascension, PS4. The Inner Friend, PS4. See that? We talked about The Inner Friend.
PSLV.
That's why I feel like I'm cop. I'm doing something. Kowaiden. Azuma Manor Story on PS4. Saboteur on PS4. Bridge Constructor Ultimate Edition on Switch. Touchdown Pinball on Switch. Milo's Quest on Switch. a Rattalika game about a dog. Remember this one we looked
at? Oh, yeah.
Super Battle Cards on Switch. Reknum on Switch. Not Tonight, Take Back Control Edition on Switch. Skate Master, Tekkyo on PC. Unlock the King 2 on PC and Mac. Hexon on PC and Mac. Hockey Manager 2020 on Steam today. The Open multiplayer technical beta for Disintegration begins today, available on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The latest Hunt Pass season for Dauntless has officially arrived as Aetherpunk. It brings edgy neon vibes to Ramsgate.
Have you tried out Disintegration?
No.
I played it at PAX. It's a pretty cool game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Richard Wakeling at GameSpot reports, update version 1.10 is now live for Death Stranding on PlayStation 4. The patch adds some vague performance improvements and finally lets you disable one of the game's most irritating features. If you hop into the game settings on Death Stranding's title screen, you'll now find a new toggle for the BT encounter warning. This warning would previously happen every time you encountered a BT infested area, forcing you to watch an unskippable cutscene of Sam Bridges or
Odradek.
Odradek, really? I just always thought of the thing. Springing into action. The new toggle lets you choose whether this extended warning continues to appear each time you encounter BTs or if it only occurs the first time you come face to face with the game's spectral enemies.
Is that one of the most irritating features of that game?
No.
Because I didn't even.
Everybody
care
wants
about
to
it.
Complain. I loved creeping by the BTs, everybody. I loved it when I had my little knife and I could cut them loose. Spoilers, I don't think you're probably there
no,
yet.
No, I'm not there.
But it's whatever. You thought, you know, you eventually you
can get like them. Free them?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They go, thank you, sir.
Whoa.
They don't really do that. But no, you do that. One and only, Barrett Courtney. You brought up a trailer for one of the games we read. Which one is it?
Yeah. You're just going to have to wait and see it.
Oh, wow. Okay, sorry.
I'm scared.
No audio. Should we have audio?
The TV up?
I don't know. Who turned it down?
It might be my iPhone.
This isn't the right remote.
Oh, there it is. We have a spaceman.
The Impossible Dream.
Oh,
he's in space?
He's in space in his bedroom.
The perfect opportunity.
Reading a newspaper.
And nothing would ever be the same.
Oh.
Okay, we're spaceman, we're shooting stuff.
This looks like Jetpack. Like the old Rare game, except with more action going on.
I won't lie to you, with the start of the trailer, I was like, this game's gonna look like crap. The gameplay, that's pretty
good. Looks all right, yeah.
Yeah. Is it on Vita? It should be on Vita.
It's on Switch.
But what about the Vita?
Willy
Jetman, Astro Monkey's Revenge. There it is. Now we understand what you're watching. Wow, okay. Tell you what, that's a title that you'd laugh out of the room. I watch that, I'm there. I'm in. Bear, I need you to slack me about Willy Jetman. So I remember to pick up Willy Jetman, all right?
All right, cool.
Thank you very much.
Is it part of the Solar Jetman series? Or am I crazy? I'm crazy.
I mean, I've never heard of this Solar Jetman series, so.
I'm crazy.
Okay.
I have to be crazy.
Well, I mean, first off, it's got Jetman in the title, so yeah, it sounds like it's definitely, like, I'm looking at the, off your screen at some of the graphics here.
It looks similar, but Jetman was created by, like, Rare.
Well, that's why this one's called Willy Jetman, like, they're clearly, like oh, we you can't get the property.
It's more inspired, okay,
yeah,
would make sense if it's, like, an inspired by, that definitely has to be it.
New dates for you, Azure Striker Gunvolt Striker Pack comes to PlayStation 4 on April 23rd. Bless.
Yes.
Are you ready for some reader mail?
I am.
Good. You have to wait, though.
Oh, no.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for reader mail. You can write in at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by G.I. Joe War on Cobra. Yo, Joe! G.I. Joe and Cobra are back in G.I. Joe War on Cobra. Will you join the Joes and fight for justice, or will you seek world domination with Cobra? Pausing the ad for a second. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting is War on Cobra, but I can join Cobra if I want
right?
to.
Right? It's awesome.
Is it? What?
It's like getting to play as like Thanos and his people if you're playing an Avengers game.
His
you know?
People.
His people.
The choice is yours. G.I. Joe War on Cobra is a free download and out now for both Android and iOS devices. Whether you're a fan of the classic animated series, the iconic toy line, comics, or all the above, G.I. Joe War on Cobra has something for everyone. It has a massive roster featuring the most beloved and infamous heroes, villains, and vehicles featured in the series. Nick grew up wanting to be a Joe, and Greg, that's me, always wanted to scream like Cobra Commander. Now you can in this game. game. Once you've chosen your side, players will be introduced to the game's mechanics via Roadblock for Joes and Baroness for Cobra. You'll learn how to manage your base, units, vehicles, and engage in battles to help you get a feel for managing your troops. As you continue with the single-player campaign missions, more options for reinforcing your army with additional units, heroes, and vehicles begin to pop up. But that's just the beginning. G.I. Joe War on Cobra also features PvP and a ranked leaderboard. You'll need to fight hard for your faction, build out and defend your base strategically, and master the art of directing troops to conquer your foes. While you're here, we have a special in-game gift from D3Go as a token of appreciation for checking out G.I. Joe War on Cobra. We're giving away two free characters for all new players to help reinforce your army. Joes can look forward to picking up a free bazooka, the G.I. Joe Missile Specialist, while Cobra followers can add a Missile BAT, the Battle Android Trooper, to their squad. In the meantime, don't forget that knowing is half the battle. Check out the description below for the link or head to d3go.com/kfgames to download G.I. Joe War on Cobra and receive your free gift for your mobile device. Next up is Robinhood. 2020 is the perfect time to start thinking about 2040. With Robinhood, you can invest in the markets and earn interest with a competitive APY on uninvested cash. They make it easy to get started and learn as you grow with an intuitive app experience and no commission fees on trades. And stock prices don't have to hold you back. You can buy a piece of a company you love for as low as $1 and build your portfolio a little at a time. Buy one share, buy half a share, 3.25 shares. It's up to you, your budget, and your goals. Your first stock is on the house when you set up your account. Go to games.robinhood.com to learn more and claim your free stock. Annual percentage yield, APY, on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank. The free stock offer is subject to terms and conditions. All investments involve risk. Other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co/fees. And that's it. Now here's what I'm going to tell you about. You can go back to the watch out. Thank you so much. In the middle of the Cobra ad, I realized I missed the most important out today. Because I got caught up in the Death Stranding thing, spoiling BT stuff for you. I left this bullet point out. This is a cautionary tale for everybody, all right? Today is the final day for you to sign into DC Universe Online and use the free character advance. Everyone gets to celebrate the anniversary with one free character advance to CR255. This is PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Or CR100 on Nintendo Switch. I urge you all to do this, all right?
Thank you.
I just want you to know. I did it today because I'm behind my Taylor Swift. She's a Green Lantern, as you all know now, but technically behind on my combat rating because it was still set from when I was playing. So I had to go in there. I did it. I downloaded it. Super easy. It's simple. Go do it right now. We can wait. Well, I guess you could have paused the show.
I was going to say, we're actually waiting.
Well, I was going to wait, but I figured, you know what? They can pause the show. Yeah. Do it that
pause
way.
The show, do
Instead,
it.
We'll go over to the nanobiologist who writes in and says, "Happy Friday, Greg and Blessing. Square has announced that they'll be doing a concert series for Final Fantasy VII Remake, and that got me thinking, what games besides a Platinum, Square, or Legend of Zelda game would fit really well with an orchestral tour? What would be your top picks? I would absolutely love a Halo tour with similar to the Legend of Zelda tour, where they conducted a song with the Wind Waker, Halo 2 or 3 music conducted with a plasma sword. Thanks, the nanobiologist.
This is a good one.
Does Persona already have orchestra? Or not even orchestra.
They have that show that...
In Japan.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is a lot of them have them already, right? I jumped Metal Gear, but Metal Gear already did it.
Yeah,
and like, I couldn't be bothered to go, because I really don't want to do this.
And I was going to say Assassin's Creed, but they already do one, too.
Wow. Oh, yeah, they do.
I heard it was Undertale. Really fucking cool.
I think Undertale. Ooh. The Undertale soundtrack is one of my top 3 soundtracks. And so I would love some sort of
if it ever happens, Bless, you and me, we're going.
Oh, dude, 100%. Even if it's in like Japan,
we go.
Even though I don't know why. I guess it could be in Japan because Toby Fox is interesting. But like, I'm totally in for that. That and Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
That would be tough.
I think that'd be cool. I mean, that wouldn't be orchestral, but like,
just you get a concert.
Bunch of, yeah, like get a bunch of bands. Even if it's like cover bands.
If you're doing that, then Crazy Taxi.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I guess is just an Offspring concert, but I'd still go. Yeah. Well, I say I go, I wouldn't really go. You know what I mean?
I'd be totally into that.
Yeah.
All right, good enough.
Oh, one more. Sure. Banjo-Kazooie. I love a banjo concert. That soundtrack is great.
Have you been following, Bless, all this Warcraft Reforged 3 stuff?
Not at all.
Will wrote in to try to get a recap of it. I know people are mad. Let's see if Will can explain it to us, all right? Hello again, Greg and Blessing. Warcraft 3 Reforged was recently launched on Tuesday, and boy howdy, fans are more pissed than an orc who has been clicked on too many times. It's a World of Warcraft reference. Blizzard made grand promises of epic cutscene remasters with dynamic camera angles, a revamped UI, and new dialogue to bring the game more in line with World of Warcraft. Most of these features were far short of those promises or dropped entirely. Additionally, there are a host of connectivity problems and a lack of features that even the original launch had. Such as competitive ladders. The final straw for many is that Blizzard has inserted language into the acceptable use policy that effectively gives them ownership of any custom games built by, any custom games that players create within the software. It's been a rough few 4 months for Blizzard, but do they have any hope of making this right and satisfying gamers? Or are we seeing the continued downside of a once great company that is now ruled by their corporate owners? I'd love to hear your thoughts. I saw this question was already in, obviously, but then As Thanos wrote in and said, "Not that you're wrong, but thought it was worth mentioning that Warcraft 3 Remaster, or Reforged, right, has a 0.8 on Metacritic due to a heap of issues, including multiple feature from the original game not being in the remaster and the original version no longer being playable."
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, that's the kind of the thing where it's just like, this is such an in the weeds, like, you're a fan of it, so like you understand all the things that it's missing.
Yeah,
that so much of us don't have.
Because like Will has sentence here is like the final straw for many is that Blizzard, and it goes on to say. I think I read it. I'm like, well, wow, the final straw is that. But you know, I hear you. Like I mean, if I was a huge fan of any particular game, right, and they like re-released it and it was missing a bunch of features, I can understand being upset, right? If they put out Super Mario Brothers 64. And it was missing like half the levels, and I'd be upset. And so,
now,
like,
at no point am I trying to ever shit on user scores, but it's worth pointing out, I think something gets missed here, right, is that the 0.8 Metacritic is the user score. The Metacritic score for critics is 63, which is still not like, oh man, what a ringing endorsement by any stretch of the imagination. But also, there's very few reviews right now. I'm looking at what it looks like. There's 6 critic scores in here. WCCF Tech being the highest at 75. Then Eurogamer Italy with a 70. GameSpace with 60. Multiplayer with 60. Digital Trends with 60. Gamer.no with a 50.
Yeah, user scores, because when you said 0.8 originally, I was like, wow, that's really rough. But when it comes to user scores, right, it is that,
that's where they vent.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is that like you're going to have most of the people that are the most upset going in there in order to score things super badly. Not saying that they don't have any justification to do so.
Oh, no,
but,
no, no, no.
Like, you know, they're going to be the most vocal, and so it makes sense that they would have a score that low on the user score. Because if somebody is like, it was all right, you know, they're probably not going to show up to Metacritic or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at a Forbes article from Paul Tassi. Yeah, and it's just, Blizzard is not exactly a developer looking for any more bad news after the last couple underwhelming years, and yet they have blundered into what could be one of their biggest controversies yet. The rather horrendous release of Warcraft 3 Reforged. Fans were previously looking forward to a remastered, upgraded version of Warcraft 3 back when the idea was announced. WoW Classic went pretty well, and everyone thought that Warcraft 3, with some improvements it would bring into the modern era, would be a slam dunk. Instead, it's more like Blizzard tried to throw a buzzer beater from their own foul line and hit a small child in the stands. The ways Warcraft 3 Reforged has disappointed players have been numerous and in some cases bizarre. There are missing cutscenes that were promised and used as part of the core game's marketing. The game is buggy, crashes frequently, and somehow actually made the UI worse than the original. Reforged has actually stripped away features from the original game somehow as well, and this list is probably only half the issues fans have with the release. In short, it's a disaster.
Wow.
And it very well might be a record-setting disaster at that.
Wow.
This is then going into the critic scores here. And I guess this is the thing where we're talking about the 0.8. Yeah, you know, 0.8 out of 10 score. After more than 6,100 reviews, Warcraft 3 Reforged is currently sitting at a 0.8 out of 10 score. A score so low, I'm sure it hasn't been achieved by many votes before, if ever.
Yeah, given all that, right, and looking at Will's question of, do they have any hope of making this right and satisfying gamers, or are we seeing the continued downside of a once great company that is now ruled by their corporate owners? I'd love to hear your thoughts. This sounds like I don't want to say isolated incident, because like there have been quite a few incidents with Blizzard recently, but I feel like this doesn't necessarily connect to, say, the Hearthstone tournament stuff,
yeah, of course,
right?
Like
the Blitzchung situation, right, which doesn't necessarily connect to how they
announced the mobile game the year prior.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you don't have phones?
Yeah, like that whole debacle. Right? I feel like all these are
separate PR disasters.
Yeah, these are all separate isolated incidents that I feel like have nothing to, or very, very little to do with each other.
Yeah.
In the way that you can't really connect them and be like, oh yeah, this is the downslide or this is the downfall of Blizzard, a once great company. Like, I think, you know, as far as what we've seen from Blizzard's output recently, like, Blizzard's still, like, they're still making good games, aside from this one, apparently. And, like, it's a hard thing to judge on that level until we see, like, okay, let's see what the next Diablo game looks like at release, right? Yeah. Let's see what Overwatch 2 looks like, and let's see, you know, let's see what their output looks like in the next, over the, like, next 1 or 2 years to really, like, make that judgment of the downfall, the quote-unquote downfall of Blizzard. Now, they've had a bad PR year, for sure.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you know, I think that could be something we look at and be like, yeah, like, is there anything they could do to satisfy gamers with this? I mean, they could fix the game, but even that, like...
It's the normal thing of, like, you only get to launch once.
Yeah.
And these are the headlines now for Reforged. If Blizzard puts out a statement tomorrow, like, hey, we hear you, we were under the gun to get it out, we needed to do whatever to make the date, we're gonna make this right, we're gonna fix the thing. Mm-hmm. That will go as far as to be like, all right, cool, I'm glad you're trying, but why did you release it this way? As somebody pointed out, and you're wrong, right? Yeah, Kebab says, it's worth noting that the controversy goes deeper. Blizzard's policy is to not allow refunds if you've launched the game, and they're banning people on their forums who are offering refund workarounds despite false advertising. Mm. So it's like, they've soured that reputation, soured that title of the game, and what? So even if it is that they're going to fix it, that's 6 to 9 months from now that you get the game you were promised already. Like, it is another blow to their reputation with, again, their hardest of hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Let's say you wanted to separate yourself from the Blitzchung stuff and think, well, that's Blizzard as an esports thing. That's a different wing of the company. Now you're seeing them put out a game, a remaster, right, reforged edition of a game that everybody loved. After WoW Classic did go over well. People loved WoW Classic. Like, here you are, like, it's them selling another ventricle of their Blizzard heart, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think for this, right, like, as far as them coming back from it, at least from, like, for this specific situation, I feel like if No Man's Sky can do it, anybody can do it. Like, I remember the No Man's Sky situation happening in real time, right, where that game comes out and everybody's like, oh, there's no multiplayer, there's no this feature, right, and people then... like, having clips of interviews with the devs saying that there will be certain features, right? Like, that was probably one of the biggest PR fiascos of the generation. And if you look at No Man's Sky now, right, like, they're thriving. Like, everybody, sure. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people love No Man's Sky. Like, there's a community there, and that community is growing, and it's getting stronger. And, you know, they could announce their next game now and not
come be under, the end,
like,
of the world.
Yeah, not be the end of the world, right? Not have to, like, shut down the studio. And so,
but even that, like, that's... I agree with you that that's obviously the redemption story, I think, of games in recent memory. But the problem there is that Hello Games, you know, went from Joe Danger to No Man's Sky. Like, there wasn't expectations, really, on terms of who they were. Yes, they overpromised. Yes, they cut features and did all these different things. Still, the game you got ran and was fun, IMO. I enjoyed original vanilla No Man's Sky. Mm-hmm. And so when they eventually fixed it and, you know, did it, I think there was just... less to it than Blizzard fucking this up. Blizzard fucking up WoW, you know what I mean? Or Warcraft World.
Yeah, which is why I'm like, I'm thinking of it in terms of just this specific situation, like, isolated.
Yeah.
Right? I think they could come back. And granted, I don't know, you know, to all the different extents that this thing is screwed up, because it sounds like it's lacking a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe some of these things are things that are unfixable. I have no idea. But, you know, if they do come back, like, 9 to 12 months and have this thing running at the full, like, the way that it should be, the way that it should have released, right? Like, there are definitely going to be people, there are going to be a lot of people that are just soured forever and will not trust Blizzard to, like, put out games like this again. And I think that's, like, I think that's valid. But I think they could turn this into its own comeback story. It won't be No Man's Sky, because that was such a greater thing. And, like, you know, it was coming from a smaller developer who, like, you know, their reputation is different from the reputation of Blizzard as this big company that is doing all these big different things that shouldn't have released a game in this state. But I think there's hope that they could bring back some of the lost will.
And my thing about it, and again, I'm completely talking out of turn here. I do not have a history with Blizzard. I do not know the Blizzard of everybody. I mean, I love Diablo 3, but and Well, I guess I love Diablo, period. But like, I don't know them and everything else and all the different, what's happened since, you know, ownerships have changed, yada, yada, yada. Is this the corporate overlords on it? Impossible to say, but I doubt it is the CEO screaming down at them. It is the idea that you have a milestone, you need to ship this game, it is just a remaster. We're not gonna make it, start cutting features, start cutting this thing, maybe we can patch them in later, hopefully it won't be a big deal. Where it all broke down, I don't know. But it would have to be pressure from somewhere above. I doubt from the top of the company. I doubt from the people who maybe your shareholders. I don't know. Like that's what forces games out.
But yeah, like I imagine like somewhere along the line, people were like, this needs to come out now because of scheduling. And because if we push this, then we push something else. And we can't let the ripple effect of this thing getting pushed then affect the whole company or affect the sect of the company.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was probably the situation here, you know, which sucks, right? But yeah. Like I can't even make an excuse for it. It's just like,
It's hard to be outside of the, you know, that's such a in the shit kind of thing.
Yeah.
You have to be there. I can tell you why I'd be mad about Patapon, right? Like I can't help you on why I'd be mad about World of Warcraft.
I feel you.
Yeah, I know you feel me. I want to end with this one from the Sheep Whisperer, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you came to be part of the show. Happy 12-hour stream day, Kind of Funny Games Daily crew. With this coming Sunday, Super Bowl. This is a serious show, sir. This is a serious
What is happening right now?
Show.
Toilet Toad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we have Jesus. A Toilet Toad invasion here on Games Daily.
Oh, man.
Oh,
my God.
Hurry up so we can start the fun part of the stream. Also, don't forget to tweet your Toilet Toads at Tim Geddes.
It's rare that we get
mop, mop.
A new character that I'm not somehow involved in.
Mop, mop.
I like Toilet Toad, right? Mop, mop. Yeah.
This is upsetting.
Right.
This is very upsetting.
Is that
interesting? He didn't hop out there, but he's
back out. Oh, God.
Toilet Toad did legs this morning.
Oh, man.
This is hurting.
Andy, I don't know like how much more we need to give you for you to make a fucking shirt of Toilet Toad. You know what I mean?
I used to work at an office job.
Thank you. Jesus.
I used to work at a desk.
Yeah.
I used to answer emails.
It's been a week. It's been a month of this, right?
It's been a month.
You're ready?
It's almost there's toilet paper on my teeth.
Final questions from the Sheep Whisper. With this coming Sunday being Super Bowl Sunday, and with the end of this year being the release of next generation of consoles, what do you think is the likelihood of seeing some kind of world premiere announcement in the gaming sphere during the commercial breaks?
Oh,
I like that question
because
it is definitely something I had not thought of.
Yeah, I didn't think about this either.
I think the only possibility is just an Xbox Series X ad.
There will be an Xbox Series X commercial.
I think that's all we get.
That's what I thought too. Is Xbox is the one to do it. But I don't think it'll be like brand new, right? I think it'll probably be the Game Awards. If you did it would be what you showed at Game Awards.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think it'll be that.
Because the problem is Super Bowl ads cost so much fucking money that everybody teases before they have a Super Bowl ad. So the fact that PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, right, haven't been like, I'd watch, wink, you know. Like,
last year, they did the Xbox Adaptive Controller as an ad, and I don't believe that came out.
Were we teased, no?
Was it teased? The Xbox Adaptive Controller commercial? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think given that, I could easily see
it's not like an Xbox Sony's tweeting out, oh, Knack died. Come see on February 2nd.
Come to Knack's funeral during the Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
Something to keep in the back of your head as you get ready for all these ads.
Yeah, I give it a 75% of Xbox Series X. I give it a 55% of a new game.
Wow, you're pretty confident you're getting something.
Actually,
you're going to get anything.
Actually, give me lower it down to 25% for a new game. Now that I think about it, that never really happens, but who knows?
Halo Infinite, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. What if there's a game within Halo Infinite that gets announced?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Will needs help on PS4 and Xbox One. He is Torbanok on both of those. Torbanok. Torbanok says, what's shaking, best friends? With the announcement of the recent GTA Online and Red Dead Online bonuses, I've decided to jump in and try to wrap up. Why are you just eating? Toilet Toad is doing things just for me now. Like, I don't know, this doesn't help Toilet Toad at all. I've decided to jump in and try to wrap up some trophies on PS4 for those sweet platinums. Also, I'm going to be in the newly announced Phantasy Star Online 2 beta for Xbox One next weekend, February 7th and 8th. And would like to party up with some best friends for that. Anyone can sign up for it through the Xbox Insider Hub. My handle on both services is Torbonok. Let's squad up and conquer this together. If you want to play any of those games with Torbonok, hit him up. Remember, you can get it in the YouTube description. You're Wrong, of course, is where you, watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast service around the globe. Let's see what we got in here. Tagless02 says, Celeste was originally made for the Pico 8.
That's what it was.
Which is playable into the Celeste Hotel level. Kebab says there was an Undertale live concert that happened earlier this month. It was conducted by Toby Fox and allowed the audience to make choices that influenced the performance.
What the fuck?
Bear, how did we miss this?
I don't know.
Yo, this where's my invite? Toby Fox next
Ramondo
time invite
me. Is there too, saying there is an Undertale concert in Chicago. The audience participates. He's making it sound like it's still going, so it's worth a Google.
Bear,
the audience
kinda
decides what routes, genocide, pacifist. The music play changed depending on the route.
It's for Undertale though.
I thought we talked about that, but he's saying that, of course, with more reason why people are pissed off about Reforged is that they removed the original Warcraft 3 from Battle.net. So if you boot up Warcraft 3, it's the old skins, but the new buggy infrastructure.
Oh,
so everybody's
boy.
Pissed about that.
Barrett, me and you, Chicago.
Dude, again.
Guys, breaking news. Not really, but you're wrong for sure. Nanobiologist says The Verge reported before the Super Bowl Microsoft would have... Oh, this is for last year.
Okay.
The Verge reported before the Super Bowl that Microsoft would have an ad during the event.
Gotcha.
So I stand by it, yeah. Okay. And then, yeah, Anakin's back to say, yeah, it was teased before the Super Bowl with the 60-second version.
Then I'm lowering it down to 35% we see an Xbox ad.
Okay.
Wow.
And I'm lowering the game reveal percentage down to 5%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, yeah, I totally,
harsh
over the last 5 minutes, I've
harsh but fair
come to the realization that dreams are dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kinda Funny is far from dead. We're celebrating 5 years, of course, with a 12-hour stream. This was hour one. Toilet Toad will be here the rest of the show, I guess. I don't know. We're going to keep on streaming, but before we close out Games Daily for everybody listening or watching later, let's run through next week. Next week, looks like this for hosts. Monday, Blessing and Tim. Tuesday, Blessing and Imran. Wednesday, Greg and Tim. Thursday, Greg and Witta. That's right. Gary Witta Thursday. Friday, Greg and Blessing. Worth pointing out, the Gamescast will record on Wednesday. It's going to be the 30 most iconic Nintendo games. And then, Kinda Funny, we'll be streaming next Thursday, 2 p.m. It's going to be Dreams.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know if that Thursday actually checks out. I think it might be Friday.
Yeah, that might be Friday.
I didn't update that part. But we're streaming Dreams next week, so be part of that. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kinda Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for watching. It's been a fun month with you. We have a lot of more months to do. Of course, we have 11 more hours of streaming to happen here live. So if you're catching this later, feel free to tune in and see how drunk we are. But for Games Daily, remember, nerdy video game news, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm Greg, that's Blessing. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.